Hello and welcome. You're about to enjoy another exciting message from Adversary Christ the King. Here at ACTK, we believe in bringing people in to believe, building people up to belong, and sending people out to serve. If you have any other questions about our beliefs and values, or would just like general information about the different resources here at Adversary Christ the King, you can visit our website at www.actk.ca. Now let's listen to this week's message.
You know, a couple weeks ago, the Lord blessed my family and I with an opportunity to go down to Portland for our spring break. We went down there for a week, and we were looking forward and really excited about going there. But that last Sunday that I was here before the spring break started happening, several weeks before that, I had started noticing that my left foot, I was having some pain in my left foot. And I couldn't, I was still able to walk and move and stuff like that, but there was some pain in my foot. And, I had started asking people to pray, and over this last time and season, the life group that Joseph and I were a part of, we chose to be a part of. We formed an elders and a deacons life group. We met for six consecutive weeks, and so during that time, I asked the elders, the deacons, the spouses to be praying for me, praying for my foot too. And just before going out to the trip, that last Friday, they were actually laid hands on me and prayed for my foot, prayed for healing. I really sensed there was some breakthrough that God was providing there and healing, because actually that night too, my foot was feeling better too. And so I was really looking forward to, as we were stepping into the vacation time in the Portland, still that Sunday I felt a little something. But then on that Monday morning, as we were setting up and packing and packing our minivan and heading out to do our road trip to Portland, my foot just felt a little bit more uncomfortable. And then as I was driving now further down into the States, I felt a little bit more throbbing, and then Joseph and the kids said, "We need a pit stop." And so we got off the road, and we kind of started stretched our legs. We went to there's about a gazillion Walmarts down there. We stopped by that Walmart, and we started walking towards that Walmart. And as soon as I stepped foot on the ground, I started walking towards the Walmart. Wow, I was in a lot of pain. And I started literally just hobbling over, and I was like, oh man, I'm not even sure. I was almost tempted to ask Joseph to put me in the cart to take me to the Walmart. I'm not sure if I'm gonna make it over there, and I'm walking and dragging it, my foot, and thank the Lord, as we found that at a store, one of these foot insert things that kind of help to relieve the pressure off your foot. So I bought that thing and was hoping that it would relieve the pressure off my foot, but it relieved a little bit. But I can tell, man, there was something wrong, and it was hurting, and there was even more kind of pain in my foot. And as we drove down, we finally made it down to Portland too, and got to the hotel, and we was unpacking, unloading stuff, and I was walking, and it was really, really painful. And I was just kind of hobbling, and I was thinking, oh man, how on earth am I going to be able to walk around? How am I going to be able to enjoy vacation time? Because there's going to be a lot of walking. I knew there was going to be a lot of walking that we're going to be doing, and I'm thinking, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. And my kids were asking me, yeah, Daddy, can we go swim in the swimming pool? And I got into the pool, and even just pressing down my foot, and I had to get out. I couldn't even stand swimming. And now here it is. It was, by bedtime that first night and that evening, I was really hurting. I was really in pain. And I was praying before God. And I was, there was fear that kind of struck my heart over my foot. That's like, is there something seriously going on here? Because here I started thinking, man, I'm way down in the States. I'm about, five, 6 hours away back into Canada. If something seriously going on here, what am I going to do? And a fear kind of going that there's something seriously wrong. Because you guys, some of you may not know or recall. I mean, I've been going through some, walking through some illness, immune system things that the doctors are still trying to figure out right now. I'm thinking, was this going on? Is something going on here? Is this another manifestation of things? What's going on here, Lord? And, questioning and wondering. There were so many questions. And I just couldn't figure out, God, what are you up to? What are you doing in my life? What are you doing? Why? Especially now during vacation time, why was God? And there was such fear in my heart. And I started doubting, Lord. And I started doubting in my heart too. God, where are you? I mean, I've been praying. I've been, you know, other people have been praying for me too, for healing over here. And I just don't seem to be able to walk, literally walk out in it. It doesn't seem to be getting any better for me. If anything, it seems to be getting worse here. What's going on? What's going on here? And yeah, doubt, fear. I couldn't just understand, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? And there might be some of you here today that might be questioning and wondering in your life, God, what are you doing in my life? You might be questioning and wondering, well, yeah, things that you have planned or might even prayed about, had other people pray for you. Maybe things in your job, maybe things in your family, maybe things that are going on in relationships in your life, things that are going on that lead you to doubt and fear in your life. And today, as we continue on in our sermon series, a game changer, we're going to be talking and looking at a passage here that speaks specifically about doubts and fears that we may confront, that can be a game-changing thing, and the truth that we could receive here today to remove all the doubts and fears and bring us hope and peace in Jesus Christ. Amen? And so we're going to be taking a look at, and if I could ask you guys to pull up the scripture here today, Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Can I ask you guys? Let's read this all together. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Starting here in verse 13. Okay. I'm beginning to doubt and fear now. Okay, here we go. Okay. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped that he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early in the morning, this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the woman had said. Then Jesus said to them, 'You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures? Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?' Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of the journey. Jesus had acted as if he were going on. But they begged him, 'Stay the night with us since it is getting late.' So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and at that moment he disappeared. They said to each other, 'Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?' And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, 'The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter.' Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. 'Peace be with you,' he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. 'Why are you frightened?' he asked. 'Why are your hearts filled with doubt?'" What I want to draw our attention to, for those that are going through hard times, doubts, difficulties, fears, and apprehensions in our life, this passage here, towards the end of our passage here, we read and we see here, back to the slides, guys, Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 38. Here we go. What I want to draw our attention is this. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why are your hearts filled with doubt?" Here it is, right? The disciples are freaking out. They're fearing. They're doubting here. Not sure what's going on. This all happens and occurring, you know, after Jesus' death on the cross and the resurrection. There's been some sighting, some seeing. Jesus, you know, some of the women went to the tomb. You know, they see angels saying that Jesus is alive. He's not here. Peter himself goes over there, and Jesus is surely gone. And so they're confused. They're wondering. Now they hear this testimony from these two disciples, followers, one of them being Cleopas, and saying, "Yeah, you know, we saw Jesus again." And now they're kind of confused, not sure what's going on, and questioning on. And Jesus comes and he appears again, and he says to them, "Answer the phone." Wow, everything is going on today. Wow. We got to hang on because this is going to be a ride today. All right, fasten your seatbelts, everybody. It's going to get bumpy. Because here it goes. Jesus goes and speaks to them in the midst of their confusion, in the midst of their doubts and fears. Jesus says, "Peace be with you." He says, "Peace be with you." It's Jesus' heart and his desire, not just a formal greeting, "Hey, how you doing?" but "Peace be with you." Jesus desires and he wants to impart upon them rest, peace, safety, security. He wants his disciples to understand, in the midst of their confusions, in the midst of their fears and apprehensions, in the midst of their doubts, he wants to let them know that, "Hey, guys, everything's okay. Be at rest. Be at peace here. Everything is okay. If in the midst of all the fears, all the apprehensions, all these kind of things, understand this. Understand this. Peace be with you. You are safe. You are safe. You are safe." My friends, what the word that God wants to give and the revelation that God wants, if those of you who are going through doubts, going through worries, going through fears in your life, things that might not be going on according to your plans or your agenda or how you might think God would be working, God would want to speak out to you today to understand and hear this very important thing is that you are safe. You are safe. Peace be with you. You are safe. You may be in doubt. You may be fear right now, but Jesus wants to speak first and foremost to you. Peace be with you. You are safe. Amen. You are safe. You are safe. Because what we want to understand here as we explore our text even further, there's some things that we need to understand why Jesus could exhort and say that you're safe here. For us to understand and grasp in our hearts, it all starts pivotal within this game-changing thing, that our understanding of the cross and Christ's resurrection, what he has done for us, that we can understand in the midst of our doubts, in the midst of our fears, that we are safe. That we are safe. And so here's what I want to point out and further to understand, for us to get, to understand that we're safe here. And that's here, in starting here in verse 19. As Jesus approaches the disciples, "Hey, what's going on?" He says, "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people." Verse 20. But our leading priests and all the religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. You know, what I want to point out here is in verse 21, you know, as they are talking to Jesus here and they're trying to explain to Jesus what's going on, they say that we hoped that he was the Messiah. He was the guy that we understood that this Jesus, he was supposed to be the Messiah. He was the one that was prophesied long ago. He was going to rescue the Israelites from the Roman persecutors and oppressors, the people that were lording over us, that Jesus was probably finally bring and reestablish the Israelite kingdom here on earth. And all this, it didn't happen. It didn't go that way. It didn't. But instead, what happened is that, I mean, they end up crucifying this Jesus. And now this happened three days. And now everything is all shot to literal hell here. And what's going on? And they had hoped. They had hoped. This understanding here in the Greek, there's an expectation. There's an expectation what they had about Jesus Christ and what he was going to be about and what he was going to be doing. And what we have to understand here is that what God was after here, what we need to understand is that when things are not going according to plan, when there's fear and there's doubt in our minds, that here it is, when things are happening in our lives that aren't going to our plans or what we think God is going to be doing, that we need to understand this, that God doesn't have to make sense. He doesn't have to make sense. He doesn't have to make sense. Because here it is. Here it is. What's going on here is that in according to their plan and their understanding of the Messiah, that the Messiah was supposed to bring physical reclamation of the land of the people of the Israelites. But instead, now he's dead and he's gone. What happened to our Messiah, the one that was going to bring final warrior victory for God's people? And now he is dead and gone. But in God's plan, on his agenda, on his heart and his mind, for his Messiah, he was going to be bringing not just only, just physical restoration of land, but he was going to bring spiritual restoration. He was not only to bring physical salvation, he was going to bring spiritual salvation. He was going to be bringing not only just physical life, he was going to bring the gift of eternal life through his son Jesus Christ by dying on the cross. That was on God's plan. That wasn't on their plan and their heart and their mind and their agenda. It didn't make sense to them because they were stuck in their heart and their mind and their plans and their agenda that, well, God was going to be working in this way. The Messiah is going to come. We're going to be saved. Finally, he's going to conquer over the Romans and we'll finally be blessed by God again. That this Jesus was supposed to be doing this. Now all hope is lost, all hope is gone. And what we need to understand here is that God doesn't want to make sense to us. All God wants to do in the midst of our confusion is for us to trust him more. Trust him more. That there is a bigger plan. What we learn from the cross more than anything else is that there is a bigger plan out there. That is beyond what we can ever think or imagine. That God's got bigger things in mind in his heart and plan for our lives. That we think too small for our God. We think that our God wants to free us from our Roman persecutors, but God wants to bring the gift of eternal life for us and free us from our sins. Bigger plans. Bigger plans on his heart and his mind and his agenda. He doesn't have to make sense. It's all God wants to reveal to us today. Right now, as we're confused, as we're fearing, as we're in doubt, God just says, just trust me more. Trust me that I have a plan. Trust me that I have a plan. Trust in the Lord your God with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. Guys, get that. Lean not in your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God and he will make your path straight. That is a promise. That all God is asking of us, especially now is the time, as you're going through times of doubt, fear, things are all going crazy and chaos, and things aren't going according to plan. God is saying, and just asking, just trust me more. Trust me more. I don't have to make sense to you right now. I don't have to make sense to you right now. That I could go beyond your personal plan. That there's bigger things that I have in mind. Will you just trust me? Will you just trust me with that? Trust God. Trust God. My friends, what things that are going on in your life right now that God is asking, just trust him. That it might not be going according to plan, might not be going to even in your prayers or that you could back up with scripture, but it's just not happening right now. That God's just saying, trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Give God your trust because the cross shows more than anything else that you could trust him. There's bigger things that he has in mind for your life. Luke chapter 20, verses 25 through 27, let me point this out. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Important thing to understand here is not as though the disciples, they didn't know scripture. They had looked at scripture before. They knew the prophecies and stuff like that. They knew all about these prophecies, but they didn't really know the prophecies. You know, there's a difference here between looking at the Bible just to read the Bible versus looking to the Bible for revelation from the Bible. Guys, with me? Huge difference. Huge difference that we see here. And Jesus here, calling them out and say, what's going on here, guys? You don't seem to understand here. And he starts explaining. He starts bringing revelation. Revelation to them, imparting, and then specifically about himself. And what we want to understand from this, in the midst of our times and confusion, is that here is God is providing greater revelation. God wants to provide greater revelation to you. greater revelation to you in your life. In the midst of the doubts and fears, things are going on that are confusing you. God is setting you up, setting us up for greater revelation of who God is and what he's all about in our lives. He wants to move us beyond our surface level understanding of Scripture. Hear this. He wants to move us beyond the surface level understanding of our Scriptures so that we can own the Scriptures in our heart. To understand that the Bible is more than just a textbook, but God's Word. God's Word says that the Word of God is living and active. Living and active. Able to divide and cut through the soul and the spirit, joint and marrow. It's living and active. For those of us, I even quoted from Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, trust in the Lord your God with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. We could kind of hear it, right? We know that one. But we really don't know that one until all hell breaks loose in our life. That what really starts happening in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the doubt and fears and wonders, God wants to bring greater revelation. He wants to speak and impart in the midst of the doubt and the fears. He wants to open up his word to you afresh and anew. And the problem is here is this, is that most of us, as we're fearing and life is chaotic, we don't turn to God's word. We only see God's word as something that we're guilted about because I haven't read today. I haven't done my devotion. But God wants to move beyond this, that his word is living and active, and he wants to breathe life through it. He wants to literally speak to us through his word to comfort, to encourage, to reveal who he is. You know, when I was in Portland, I turned to God and his word, and he brought this text to me to speak to me in Micah chapter 4. Can you put that up for me? In that coming day, says the Lord, I will gather together those who are lame, those who have been exiles, and those who I have filled with grief. Those who are weak will survive as a remnant. Those who are exiles will become a strong nation. Then I, the Lord, will rule from Jerusalem as their king forever. As for you, Jerusalem, the citadel of God's people, your royal might and power come back to you again. The kingship will be restored to my precious Jerusalem. And I can't tell you, when I read the lame, can we turn it back? Can we turn it back to verse 6? I will gather together those who are lame, those who have been exiled, those whom I have filled with grief, those who are weak and will survive, those who are exiled will become a strong nation. I can't tell you what that did to my heart. God gave me great new revelation here. That in the midst of me physically, literally being lame, that God was promising before me that he was be working something out in my life, that he was in the process of restoration, that he was calling me out, that I was going to be separated apart from him, I was going to be a remnant for him, that he was going to be making me strong again, that once I was weak, I will be strong again. In the midst of my physical pain, as I physically looked at my foot and could see it red, feel it throbbing, God was speaking to me and saying that I will call you back, the lame people, I'm calling back to myself. I am separating you out as my remnant people. I will make you a strong nation, a strong people here. I will make you strong once again. I will restore to you again. And today I come before you and my foot is much better. God has restored my foot. Praise the Lord. He spoke his truth to me. I own that text. It is not just a simple, name it, claim it. But I own that text because God gave me revelation. I wasn't just reading God's word. God was revealing his word to me. And that is what God is setting us up. When we are going through our pain, our grief, our hurt, our turmoil, all our trials and all our tribulations, that this is a time and opportunity that God is setting us up for greater revelation and experiences of him. And it's our opportunity more than anything else to know God more. To know God more. Because I now know God more as my physical healer and restorer of my body. I know my God is able to do that. I know what I know, and no one else can cause that doubt within me. I know that. I know that. What does God want you to know more about him? In the midst of your trials, in the midst of the things that you're questioning and wondering and doubting and fearing, when things aren't working out, ask God for a revelation. Ask the Lord, speak. Open up his word. Blow off the dust from our Bibles, and let's start reclaiming and lifting up God's word, the sword of the Spirit. Our weapon in this warfare that God calls us out into, that we may stand strong, that we may stand firm in our God, who wants to impart hope, wants to bring revelation, that we may know him more. Know him more. But lastly, let me kind of point out what God also brought to my heart here. Starting here in verse 15, Luke 24, verse 15. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus suddenly came and began walking with them. Here's the thing I want to point out. But God kept them from recognizing him. Then we jump ahead, all a bunch of stuff happens. Verse 28. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus has acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, stay the night with us since it is getting late. So he went home with them. As he sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were open and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? What I want to point out here is very interesting here, that you would think when Jesus physically appeared to the disciples, God would want them to see him. Right? And say, wow, Jesus, you're alive. Praise God. Right? It's so great to see you again. But the text says that God actually caused them not to recognize Jesus. And I wonder, what on earth is up with that? I mean, why would God cover their eyes from recognizing and seeing Jesus? For who? I mean, as resurrected, wouldn't that give God praise, glory, and honor here? And here's the thing, why would God do that? And then, you know, as they're kind of still meeting Jesus, Jesus acting as if he's going to go, and they beg him to come and stay, and Jesus breaks bread. They see, and they finally, they recognize Jesus through breaking bread. They say, wow, time and time again, we've seen somebody do this. Who was that? Oh, Jesus. And you see Jesus again, and immediately once they see Jesus, he disappears. He's gone again. Why? Why can't they finally see Jesus, finally see him and celebrate? And say, wow, that's great and wonder. And here it is. What catches here, verse 32, they said to him, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? Our hearts are burning with us. Their hearts burned within them as Jesus met and talked with them and opened up and brought revelation to them through God's word about who he was, what he was about, knowing more about him, knowing about God's plan for his life and for their life, knowing about the mission and purpose and plan, that their hearts burn within them. And here's the thing that we need to understand here. Here's the thing that we need to receive revelation, that here it is, that God wants you to see with your heart and not just with your eyes. What God is after here, He not only just wants us to see Jesus physically with his eyes, but he is more drastically concerned about for us our ability to be able to see Jesus with our heart. That we might not be able to see Jesus around us, but we can know that he's here. We can see him. We can sense him. We can feel him. And in the midst of, you might be thinking that God is at work, but God's gone, and God is trying to open up the eyes of our heart that we may see that he's still present. Because Jesus promises, never will I leave you nor forsake you. I am with you to the ends of the ages. And I don't think the end of the age has come yet. And I don't know. Anybody see Jesus? I see him. I see him. I feel him. I know him. In the midst of everything that's going on. You know, as I was lying in the bed with my foot throbbing in pain, I was praying, I was pressing through, God, I am going to be worshiping you, I'm going to be praising you, I'm going to trust in you. I trust you with my life, I trust you with everything. You know, Lord, reveal who you are to me. And here it is, Lord, I don't see you. I don't see you, but I know who you are. And I know your promises, and I know that you say that you are always with you, with me. You will never leave me, never forsake me, never abandon me, and I will cling to you, and I feel you now. That, God, you may be invisible, but I also know, God, you are invincible. That you are the God that conquered death, and surely my foot is not too hard for you. My friends, as you're going through your doubts and your fears in your life, things aren't going according to purpose and plan, you're asking, God, show up, do this, do that I may see you. God is more interested about you not just seeing him do miracles in your life, but you to feel him in the here and now. In the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the chaos, it's in the here and the now. He wants you to see him in your heart. Feel him. Know him. Trust in him. Believe in him. Hope in him. Live for him. Obey him. Live out for him, despite everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The praise and the worship him, no matter what, because he alone is worthy of our praises. Worthy of our praises. Worthy of our praises. In the end, here, I've shared in the past, too, some blood tests that I've gone over these last several, 6, 8 months now. Blood tests to try to discern what's going on with my body, all these symptoms, the numbness, the tingling, the pain, the fatigue, all these kind of things that are going on, and the blood tests that are showing different things. And one of them in particular, liver problems. You know, and I remember through the course and the time is, my problem is that I know a little bit too much to be, I'm too dangerous about the medical body and stuff, all that kind of stuff. And as all these kind of tests kind of come out, back in my mind, there was something like, what if it's liver cancer? What if it's liver cancer? And I'm just waiting. Each time I went to the doctor, each more blood tests, all these CAT scans, all these things were starting revealing, not quite sure what's going on, we need more tests. And there was no resolution. No resolution that's going on. The more tests need to be done, more exams, and more specialists need to be done. And they say, well, we're going to look into the liver because there's something seems to be going on over there. And I keep on pressing through, keep on kind of questioning and wondering here. And back of my head, I wonder if there's something ominous going on. I wonder if it's liver cancer going on over here. What's going on? Am I gonna die? Am I gonna leave? You know, what's going on over here? And here it is. You know, I went to just this past Wednesday to the liver specialist in Vancouver, because we finally went through all of the routine and the liver specialist. He went and they did a deep liver scan of my thing. And the first time I met with him, he said, "You know what? We're probably going to have to take a biopsy of your liver just to make sure to see what might be really going on, because that'll be the really final thing here over here to really determine, you know, if there's really something ominous, you know. But let's take a look." And you know, and so I'm fully expecting this time around he to confer to me, you know, yeah, based on all your blood tests and blood works and all of that, we are going to go in for that biopsy, and we'll see. But, you know, as I pressed through, praying through all these kind of things, you know, the doctor took a scan, deep liver scan, and he said, "Guess what, Bob? I got great news for you. There's no scarring. There's no nothing bad or ominous going on in your liver. I don't see any problems going on over here. From my point of view, you're looking good. No need for a liver biopsy." No cancer, nothing for you to worry about. You're going to be around for a while. That could be good news or bad news for some of you. You know, but, you know, since you're still experiencing some symptoms over here, I'm going to recommend you go see, you know, other doctors and stuff like that. But I recommend you to go back to your doctor in Abbotsford and talk with him and have him consult with you and see what's going on, what specialist he will recommend for you to go to. So I met with my doctor just yesterday, Saturday morning. And so he comes and he says, you know, tell me, yeah, it looks like all these kind of symptoms. And here it is, Bob, you know, here it is, you know, as all these symptoms are still kind of going on. And, you know, it looks like, yeah, your liver's good, that's really great. But let's kind of try to narrow down the scope over here. And, yeah, I'm going to send you to a neurologist now. I'm going to take a look and have hopefully, you know, kind of start excluding kind of things over here. You know, and I, you know, I turned to my doctor and I said, you know, here it is, doc. Here's what I trust and believe in here. I know that this thing is going to come to no end. I believe in my heart of our hearts that God has revealed to me that this thing is not meant for my destruction, but for God's good and his glory. I believe that in my heart of our hearts. And I said, doctor, why do you want to send me to this neurology? He said, well, Bob, I don't want to freak you out or scare you or anything like that. I just want to eliminate the possibility that you might have MS. I said, thanks for not scaring me. And so I left the doctor's office, and I'm driving in the car and praying to the Lord. And here it is. I was prepping, praying through, and prepping for the message in my heart, in my mind, and my spirit. And I commanded my heart, my soul, my spirit that I will not fear. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. Because God declares, and I know he's told me that I am safe. I am safe. I am good in his hands. I am good in God's hands. I am safe, that I can trust him. I can believe in him. I can have hope in him. I can know him more throughout this process, throughout this journey. In life, in death, I can know my God even more. And more than anything else, I could feel God. I felt God's presence in my car with me that morning. I felt him. I felt his love. I felt his embrace as I continued to worship him and commit to him that, God, I will believe. I will trust in you. I will hope in you, in the good, bad, and the ugly. I refuse to fear. I will not live in fear. I will not live in doubt. I will praise you. I will worship you in the morning, in the evening. I will praise you in sickness and in health. I will praise you. And that, in the end, is what God is after in our lives. He can allow trials and tribulations and confusions so he doesn't have to make sense to us. But what he's asking from us is just trust in me here. Just trust in me. He wants to bring us greater revelation so that we can know him more, that we can understand, but not just know him in our hearts and our minds. God says that I am going to be present, that it's so more important to me for you that just not to see me physically, but I want you to see me in your heart, that you can experience me, feel my love, feel my embrace, feel my comfort, feel my power, feel my hope, feel my strength, that I may be brought all glory, honor, and praise. My friends, my hope and my prayer for all of us today is that you, who might be doubting, fearing, confused today, to receive God's revelation that you can still trust him. You can know him. You can feel him even more, because he's a God that saves, and he's worthy of our worship, praise, and trust. Amen. Let's close in prayer.